My dear Vrata, by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities accept different types of bodies for birth and death, activity, lamentation, illusion, fear of future dangers, and happiness and distress. Report. Every living entity who has come to this material world has come here for material enjoyment, but according to his own karma activities, he must accept a certain type of body given to him by material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27, Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvashah. Everything is being done by Prakriti, material nature, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Modern scientists do not know why there are varieties of bodies in 8,400,000 forms. The fact is that all these bodies are ordained for the living entities by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the living entity's desires. He gives the living entities freedom to act as they like. But on the other hand, they must accept a body according to the reactions of their activities. Thus, there are different types of bodies. Some living entities have short durations of life, whereas others live for fantastic durations. Every one of them, however, from Brahma down to the ant, act according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in everyone's heart. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15, Sarvascha chaham hridi sannivishto matasmate jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It is not a fact, however, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives direction to certain living entities in one way and other living entities in another way. The truth is that every living entity has a certain desire, and the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to fulfill it. The best course, therefore, is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to his desire. One who does so is liberated. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasavi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Priyavrata Maharaj is at a juncture in his life where he has to make a very critical decision. We all face in our lives critical junctures where we have to make some very important decisions. And these decisions change the course of our lives. For example, one of the decisions in one's life is a change of ashram. That's a very important decision. Another important decision is the accepting of a guru. Another decision is occupational engagement. Another is marriage. Whether to marry or not to marry, whom to marry, whom not to marry. Another very critical decision is how to engage one's wealth. another decision is related to occupational duties, but the course of education that one must take is a very, very critical decision. Critical not because there is money associated with it. Critical because these decisions can make or break the effort that we have put into our Krishna consciousness in this life. Although Krishna consciousness does not die, like we read a few verses ago, but our wrong decision can curb the full expression of the possibility of Krishna consciousness in this life. And some of these decisions are helpful or hurtful according to how they are made. So it's not a decision, it's not the particular situation itself, but the process that one goes through that's important. And Priyavrata Maharaj is going to make a very, very critical decision. He's about to make. And he has Narada Muni, who, by the way, is telling him, stay renounced. And then there is Lord Brahma and Swayambhuva Manu, who are saying, become married. Take on the responsibility of being a king. So I'm not going to discuss today how to balance two different authorities. I'm going to discuss today how to make decisions. So what generally for decision, for any decision making, most people use certain criteria. Criteria such as, what is my current situation today? And where would I like to be tomorrow in the future? And to the degree one has the capacity of intelligence, clear thinking, and these don't come in Kali Yuga, but to whatever degree they are there, clear thinking, intelligence, maturity, experience in life, etc., one makes a decision. Or another piece is predictability. If they can predict what the outcome of my decision will look like, and one feels a sense of comfort, like what they call in English, the warm and fuzzies. If one feels that, one makes a decision. Now another aspect is least risk. Now this is how material thinking is. I want to make a decision, but at the same time, it should be the least risky. And I want to predict the outcome. However, we'll come back to this. Each one of us has a particular body. We are called Deha Yogam. And with each body, one gets these eight characteristics. Bhavaya means to come into being, birth. Nashaya, death. Karma, one's karmic stockpile, one's tendency for activities, certain types of activities. Shokaya, things for which we lament. Different people lament for different things. It depends on one's Deha Yogam, one's psychophysical makeup. Mohaya, illusion. Different people are illusioned by different things. Sada, so it's not like sometimes, means always. Bhayaya, fear. And particularly Prabhupada translates, fear of future dangers. The future danger is that I made a wrong decision. That's the danger everyone's trying to avoid. And sukhaya, dukkhaya, happiness and distress. Each of our bodies psychophysical, body-mind. When I say body today, it means body-mind combination. Each of our body-mind combination, bodies, Atma, tries to respond in this material world to all of these, or interact with all of these, or behave in accordance to these affects. We're all born. I've been thinking about the whole idea of birth in this material world. We are born because of karmic desires, because of wanting to enjoy this material world again and again. There is birth, and this birth has to happen in a seminal manner, and we are born with a particular type of body, set of senses, the mind, the capacity for intelligence, all of that determined according to the desires that we carry. And for such birth, there is an associated death. Death is there for every living entity that is born, every body that's born. But death is different according to the species that it is part of. If I'm a antelope, then the death is, you know, death by chase or something, or by a hunter's bullet or arrow or something. If I'm a frog, then my death is different. It's by the swallowing of a snake. If I'm a human being, death is such a big variety nowadays. Disease, violence, something. But there is death. Karma, one's activities is defined by the body that he has, the mind he has. Certain activities that a soul with this body and mind will perform will be very different from the activities a soul with that body and mind will perform. When the living entity is in a dog's body, the activities he performs are very, very different. You throw a ball, he'll go and fetch. In a human body, he may not do that. Why should I go? You go. Very different activities. And each of these activities is by the sense of false ego. Yesterday we heard atomic living entity and gargantuan false ego. It is so huge, and that tells us, hey, you're a dog, you're a human being, you're such an important man, you're such a good looking woman, you are such a scholar, you are so rich, etc. And the person performs activities according to that identity he's been given by the false ego. Prakriti kriyamanam gunai karmani sarvasam. And it says, ahamkara vimudha atma. Mudha means foolish. Vimudha means exceptionally foolish. In Sanskrit, the prefix V expresses a very intense situation, or an intensity of whatever we describe it. So mudha and vimudha, mukti and vimukti. Vimukti is a very special category of mukti, like that. So ahankara vimudha is so bewildered. Yes, yes, I am a dog, I am a pig, I am a human being, whatever is that identity. And because of that, then there is lamentation. A dog will lament about a bone that has absolutely no value, no taste. A human being will lament about something else, some other parallel of a bone for a human being. Lost money, lost relationship, lost jacket, lost key, lost something. Lamentation. regardless, the concept of lamentation comes because of Deha Yogam, the idea that everything is connected to me. It's mine. And then there's illusion. Illusion means different entities take up things to be reality differently. What reality means to them. For a dog, they're all examples are doggish. But for a dog walking on the street, cannot recognize certain things. But can recognize certain things because the sense of illusion is very specific. He thinks, I'm a dog. Or a human being is illusioned by different things. Well, something, something. Whatever is the different reasons by which a human being gets illusioned. Happiness, distress, all of these. So what Lord Brahma is telling Priyavrata is, each one of us is guided by our false ego. And we go about life making decisions on the basis of false ego, on the basis of a mistaken identity. And within that mistaken identity, we try to minimize the risk of not getting what we were looking for. And we use our capacities, intellectual capacity, mental capacity, etc. And we try to make the best decision that we can. We also consider different elements into our decision making. And what happens is, after we make a decision, first of all, there is fear in making that decision, because how much ever information we get, two things are always true. We don't get all the information, first. And two, we cannot grasp all the information simultaneously. We don't have the capacity. In fact, it is said that if a human being is given a list of things that are more than seven, he cannot remember. And he requires something to be repeated at least seven times before there is something they can recall. Of course, that is for a person who's alert. For a person who's intoxicated, it doesn't matter how many other times it's repeated, it just doesn't stick. So we don't have the capacity. We don't have all the information. Even if we have enough information, we don't know how to process all of them simultaneously. So what we do is we develop computers. And we program our thinking into those computers to be able to help process multiple inputs simultaneously. It's called decision modeling. It's a very, very popular thing in terms of how to pick stocks, how to buy a house, how to something. Whatever decisions you make, people try to model it. However, even that doesn't work. Why? Because the moment you put input in information, material world is such that all those factors have changed. So one has to live with what's called an error, the possibility of error in one's decision making. There is another way of decision making, which Lord Brahma is taking Priyavratas and our attention to. Another way is to make our decision on the basis of Krishna's will. That's the last sentence of the purport. The best course, therefore, is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act according to His desire. One who does so is liberated, which means one who does not do so is bound. So even after the best attempt at making the pristine decision that is free of mistakes and exactly what I want, the outcome is another material body. And with that another material body comes the list of these eight things. And one of the reasons people make decisions is to be free of these eight things. People don't want, especially, death. People don't want lamentation. They don't want illusion. They definitely don't want bhaya, fear of future dangers. But it comes with every decision that is made in the material world using material faculties. So I'm just continuing on the theme that we discussed so that there is continuity. Dukhaushadam tadapi dukham. All I have available is material resources, and whatever decision I make, the outcome will be more painful than where I started off. So there's another way. And Lord Brahma is saying, every one of us is bound by this cycle of, these laws of material energy that force us to make a decision. Even if we don't make a decision, they force us. And not making a decision is a decision, and they force us. Some people, it's easier to say, I'm not going to make a decision. That itself is a decision. And for not acting, or not doing something, there is consequence. So Lord Brahma's point here is, each one of us, especially human beings, we are bound by responsibility. We are bound by the need to make decisions. And no one is free from it, including Lord Brahma, down to a little ant. However, there is a help. The help is from Paramatma. Sarvastra Chaham Hridi Sannivishtha. Paramatma helps. But Paramatma helps in a very peculiar way. Paramatma helps according to the quality of our desire. So it's tricky. When our desire is strong and Paramatma manifests the desire, it does not mean it is Krishna's arrangement. It means that according to my desire, that's how Paramatma has manifested something. So a decision maker, the first criterion to make decision is to figure out somehow what does Krishna want in this situation? What does he want? What does he want for me? What does he want from me? And what does he want to manifest? And we may not know. We can speculate. Yesterday's conversation was about speculation, and that's also painful. So then the only way to ask, only way to know is to ask. Is to ask or inquire from the disciplic succession. So Lord Brahma is preparing Priyavrata for this point, that Krishna's will is about to be spoken to you, and you have to receive it in the best of intentions, with the best of intentions. So he started with, you are anusuya, you are free of envy. You will not become angry because the Lord is going to tell you to do something that you don't like. And secondly, it's not that each one of us is free to do whatever we like. We can, but there are consequences to that freedom, to that independence. There are consequences. So one must consider what those consequences might be. Here the consequences might be, for not taking up the order of the Supreme, is you may not get the full mercy that you are performing all these austerities for in the first place. you're being an ascetic and you've moved into the forests and mountains, Gandhamadana mountain, to attract Krishna's mercy by your austerity. But Krishna wants to give you mercy like this, not like this. What do you want? Austerity or mercy? That's the decision criteria. What do you want? Mercy? Or not? And unfortunately or fortunately, Priyavrata, in your life, mercy is going to come this way. So grab it. If you don't, then the modes of nature are going to carry you in a different way. So please prepare. Prepare to receive the instructions carefully. With consideration of what is it that you're looking for. And he's going to speak how everyone is bound by the laws of material nature tomorrow, in tomorrow's verse. So any questions, comments? Manchu? Mike's with Acharya Mishkan.
Thank you very much for your class. You're explaining very nicely how because of misidentified identity, then because the living entity thinks he's something else, then he uses his mind and senses to accommodate that vision of himself. Now, those aren't the exact words, but that was the idea. So I was thinking, you know, our vision is supposed to be I'm a servant, but that conception is so foreign to our consciousness that it's only a conception. And then as we try to act it, sometimes we act it, sometimes we don't. It's very unsteady. I'm just speaking personal experience. I'm sure everyone else has a different experience. So maybe you could share something on how to take that from just a conception that's out there to something that becomes part of one's identity. So
right. In most of our decisions, we don't even consider that conception. Because by what's called by nature, we act out on the conception that's already existing. The reason we are asked to consider every day, I am a servant of Krishna, I am a servant of Krishna, I am a servant of Krishna, is so that the conception from being a very foreign, far out idea starts becoming a closer conception, such that it can become our nature, or that is our nature anyway. So the great devotees of Krishna, they don't have to consider. They just respond as servants of Krishna, because that's their nature. So it depends on how we are cultivating that conception every day. We shouldn't wait the last minute and then say, oh, I'm a servant. That idea is too much for me, Guru Maharaj. Every day, we work on that conception. I'm a servant of Krishna. Then it is not foreign. Consider that even if it is a foreign idea, in our decision making, even for a moment if we think, how would a servant of Krishna think about this? A whole realm of possibilities and outcomes manifest that we have never thought of, never considered before. The problem is that we don't consider ourselves as servants. We say it, but we don't act it. So the idea is to act it to whatever degree we can, act it every day. I'm a servant of Krishna. And so that means Sambandha Gyan becomes Vijnana. Vijnana means realized knowledge when there is proper Abhideya. Abhideya means applying the knowledge. So one who doesn't apply the knowledge never gets the knowledge. It's like carrying a toolbox but not knowing what to do with those tools. So we don't know how to use them at the right moment. Screwdriver? Hammer? I don't know what the tools are, I don't know how to apply them. So samandha gyan is like the toolbox, but unless it's applied every day, it doesn't become realized knowledge.
Guided by the modes of nature or by the instruction of the bona fide superior, and that would understandably situate one either in the internal or the external energy of Krishna, ideally.
But?
So my question is it always very cut and clear, because we may be performing devotional service, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada starts off explaining these three energies of the Lord. The jiva is marginal. He's either under the superior or the inferior energy. So is the jiva always in specifically one or the other completely? Or is there kind of like a blending situation for one who's not totally purified, but they're trying to engage in devotional service?
Hmm. Is time discrete or continuous?
Time?
In that moment, it's discrete.
So
at the particular moment, time is very discrete. It's that second. It's that second of time. It's the next second of time. It's the next second of time. However, our experience of it is continuous. So our consciousness is in this energy or that energy at a discrete moment. It experiences its fuzzy. Because we switch. We switch so quickly.
If one is trying to make that conscious decision to invest their desire or their free will in the orders of their bona fide superior, at that moment they are situated in the superior energy, even though they may not be fully purified.
That's a contact, or it's moving in the direction of transcendence. It may not be that we are situated, but we may be moving in the direction of transcendence. If there is fire there, and I'm standing here, and I'm considering I'm feeling cold, even if I look at the fire, that's a good start. I may be moving towards the fire, I don't feel the full warmth, but I'm heading in the right direction. Someone else, suddenly we can get distracted and move away. So it's not just because I'm a servant of Krishna, thought, necessarily immediately puts us in transcendence. It brings us, or it starts moving us in the direction of transcendence. It depends on how we cultivate that. We can easily get distracted or lose interest.
You mentioned that it's not the particular activity as much as the quality of the consciousness, and we need to strive to have a very quality service at all times. Can you speak a little more about that? It seems, I just was realizing I wanted to hear a little bit more about that. Remember what I was talking about? That's at all. Give an indication of what I'm about.
It is usually said like that, that it's not the activity itself only, it's the consciousness that is associated with that activity. So first of all, it's not like I can eat meat in a mood of service to Krishna. Okay? So that's not okay. So activity does matter. Because activity is nothing but a manifestation of my consciousness. Whatever is my consciousness, that's how my activity will manifest. Two different people, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam Yastyam Jagrati Samyam. Krishna describes that activities may seem similar. That does not mean that necessarily the consciousness is similar. consciousness manifests activities, but then there's a quality to the activity. So it's important that we cultivate our consciousness so that the quality of our activity improves. So for example, let's take the activity of cooking. Many people can cook. In fact, there are people who can cook better than the devotees. But a devotee who cooks, even if they don't know how to put things together, if they cook with the slight desire that I want to please Krishna, the transformation from that cooking is far more intense than the best chef at a five-star restaurant, whatever, can put together. It may look fantastic, it may taste great. A devotee may have put salt extra beyond what the recipe called. Could be salty. Still, the effect of that food is very different than the effect of this food. Because the quality of consciousness behind that activity is different. So it's better to eat salty something than non-prasada. So it's important for us as devotees, every day, each activity, we consider, am I thinking about Krishna? Am I considering the pleasure of Krishna? Am I considering what Krishna, how Krishna would like me to serve him?
Yesterday I was asking about the difference between the Kumaras and the Kriyavrata and their refusal to accept Grihastha Ashram. And one hunch that I had that seems to be...
One what?
Hunch. Seems to be clarified by this verse that it's due to their nature or their position that they're given. Priyavrata is by nature a kshatriya. So he has this, Lord Brahma, it seems to me at least, is hinting that he has this desire, actually, although it's not manifest. That's what you were saying. And the emotive nature will affect him anyway. Whereas the Kumaras maybe don't have a problem. So, but then there's the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who reaches the stage of perfection. He sees the personality of Godhead, and he's free from material desires, and he still gets the benediction that he has to become the king. So these are different circumstances, Dhruva Maharaj and Priyavrata Maharaj. They're not for the same reasons that they're being instructed still to take up responsibility like that?
Are they for the same reason, you're saying?
Yeah, because they both, I mean, they both were in a renounced position. And then they were instructed to.
I will add an extra element to it. Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj very specifically asks, please do not give me anything material. Please remove all, if you have to give me some blessing, please remove any desire for material enjoyment from my heart. Lord Narasimha's very nice prayer. Please become the king of all the daitas for a very long time. And he's coronated as the king. It's like, did you not hear my prayer, Prabhuji? So it's the verse yesterday of Yukta Vairagya. It's now not because I have the tendency or desire, now it is because the Lord wants me to do this activity. So it seems similar. Of course, the manifestation of the circumstances are different. In this case, they need a king. Because there's an urgent need for a king. I don't know in Dhruva Maharaj's case also, it was predicted that Maharaj Uttanapada will leave, Uttama will be killed, and then he was blessed 36,000 years to be the king. So it's now free of any tinge of the material conceptions of identity. Because such a person will be the right king for the universe.
Clarifying, because we've heard a lot about Priyavrata's quality as a very advanced devotee of the Lord, but still there's a difference in the quality of his realization and these other devotees, is that correct?
I don't know, I can't say.
You can't say? Okay. I think those handles first.
Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.